ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're reading from the 11th Canto, chapter 20, Pure Devotional Service, text 22. Sakayena Sabha Bhavanam
Sakayena Sabha
Bhavanam Pratilom Manu Lobmata
Pratilom Manu Lobmata
Bhava Pyaya Yo Anurjayen
Bhava Pyaya
Mano yavad prasidati Sankhena sarva bhavanam Pratilom anulomata Bhava pyayo anudhyanen Mano yavat prasidati Sankhena by analytical study
Sarva
of all Bhavanam
material elements
cosmic, earthly and atomic Pratiloma
by regressive function
Analomata by progressive function. Bhava, creation. Apyayo,
annihilation.
Anujayet, should constantly observe. Mana,
the mind.
Yavat, until. Prasidati, is spiritually satisfied. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Until one's mind is fixed in spiritual satisfaction, one should analytically study the temporary nature of all material objects, whether cosmic, earthly, or atomic. One should constantly observe the process of creation through the natural progressive function and the process of annihilation through the regressive function. Purport. There is a saying that whatever goes up must come down. Similarly, Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita 2:27, For one who has taken birth, death is certain. For one who is dead, birth is certain. Therefore, in the unavoidable discharge of your duty, you should not lament. Until one has established one's consciousness on the liberated platform of perfect knowledge, one must constantly ward off the attacks of illusion through rigid analytical observations of material nature. The material mind may be attracted to sex. Therefore, by spiritual intelligence, one should scrutinize the temporary nature of one's own body and the body of that has artificially become the object of one's mind, one's material lust. One may apply this rigid analysis to all material bodies, from the fantastic cosmic body of Brahma down to that of the most insignificant germ. As previously stated by Lord Krishna, one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness spontaneously avoids sense gratification and is constantly drawn by the spiritual love in his relationship with Lord Krishna. One who has not achieved the platform of spontaneous Krishna consciousness must remain constantly vigilant so as not to be grossly cheated by the material energy of the Lord. One who tries to exploit the material energy ruins his spiritual life and experiences a variety of miseries. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Hridaya Nanda Goswami Niti Namane Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nevisesa Shunivari Pashachade Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is all about, this whole section is all about discharging one's duty. We have a duty, what to do. What should our duty be in this temporary situation? We're constantly engaged in activities in this material world, and it says here that one must scrutinizingly ascertain what this material world is all about, whether it be the cosmic world, the earthly world, or the atomic world. So our service is to do service to the Lord in all circumstances, in whichever way we can. And this constant engagement of service, as has been mentioned in previous classes, this constant engagement of service will eventually establish our consciousness in a liberated platform, free from the pressures of this material world. And this liberated state is a state of perfect knowledge, liberation, freedom. Freedom from the entanglement of this material world. Now, really, what is freedom? We hear so often people espousing, you know, everybody has to be free. Freedom is the buzzword. It has been for many generations now. But actually, if we have material desires and material hankerings, there's absolutely no way that we'll ever achieve freedom. We can wave as many banners as we like. We can protest in the street that we want freedom, freedom for everyone, freedom from this, freedom from that. But actually, as long as we have material desires, there's no chance of freedom. We're constantly trapped. We're constantly engaged. The mind is enslaved by lusty desires. The material mind is enslaved by lusty desires, constantly pushing us, pressure. And these lusty desires have so many permutations. The lust for possession, passion to possess something or to possess someone, to lord it over, to control. All these different things are pushing on us all the time in this material world. And as long as we have material desires, there's simply no chance of liberation. There's simply no chance of freedom. And in fact, this is such a strange situation to be captured in this material world and to demand our freedom, because we are by nature free. The spirit soul is free, but we're trapped in this material body, and as long as we have these material desires, we're engaged. And it's much like a beggar. We in the material world who are captivated by material lust and material sense gratification are no better than a beggar, simply a dog chasing after some remnants, chasing after a bone, begging for a bone. We can see this in so many different situations. When we're out there in the material world, there's so many people that strive so hard to attain things, and they're simply just chasing a bone, some gratification, some simple gratification, whether it's trying to appease a boss and doing everything you can to get some increase in wage or position. You know, you'll do anything for the boss, or whether it's in a relationship situation, you'll do anything for your girlfriend or your boyfriend just so you'll stay my boyfriend or girlfriend. We see it so often in different ways. And it's a fascinating thing, because actually it's quite demeaning and embarrassing. The whole material world is actually quite an embarrassment. When one is materially attached, when one is materially engrossed, when one's begging for their sense gratification, and people beg for their sense gratification, they'll do anything. Interesting thing sometimes, a new phenomenon, is on the internet, this internet dating situation, where people literally beg to have some relationship. They're so lonely. You know, there's that old Beatles song, "Look at all the lonely people." And it is, from a devotee's point of view, when we analytically, when we scrutinizingly look at the material world, it's nothing but lonely people walking around. They're all wanting relationships. Some find some loving relationship, but nowadays not many. You know, not many find a fulfilling, long-lasting relationship. You see so many divorces, so many relationships break down. You know, especially in the media, we have such high hopes for our celebrities who we put up as demigods. And when they finally meet someone which is of the same caliber, and we think, oh, they're going to make a nice couple. And then within a couple of years, the whole thing breaks down. It's just so demeaning, so embarrassing. It's just, there's no gratification there at all, actually. So the last line of this purport was quite interesting, where it says that one who tries to exploit the material energy ruins his spiritual life and experiences varieties of miseries. So we know as devotees there are unlimited miseries. You know, we can look at the miseries that are found in the economy. Look at the miseries that are going on in Greece at the moment. You know, people are raging in the streets, so upset of the problems and the miseries that are in this country. Because for so many years the government, their representatives, the people they've put in power, have exploited the money that they've given in taxes. And now all of a sudden the country is bankrupt due to mismanagement. And all their savings, all their superannuation, all their life savings are just gone in a flash. They haven't got anything. They've saved for generations in the, you know, for their retirement, thinking that my problems for old age will be solved because when I eventually retire, I've got this nest egg that's been sitting there. And all of a sudden they found out that the government has misspent their money and now they have nothing. And their country is bankrupt. So economically, there's so many miseries, so much anxiety. There's problems and miseries in relationships, so many different ways. There's miseries in finance, employment, trying to find some steady employment, trying to find the job that actually suits you. If we scrutinize as devotees, we talk to so many people in our preaching, and we ask them, are you happy in your job? Hate my job, mate. Hate my job. Can't stand it. Isn't it? Oh, no, I can't. How many people have you come across in the process of preaching that actually say, oh, I love my job. I'd want to stay in this job forever. Not many. Very, very rare. People are not happy, but they take a job because it's all they've got. And like Keshava was saying, they work hard, and then they go on the weekend to the football and drink beer and that's their relief. And that sort of solves the problems. And then Monday morning, remember that? Monday morning used to be, what they used to call it? Monday-itis. Monday-itis. It's like a disease. You know, over the weekend you've put a panacea to all your problems. You've shelved them because you've got drunk. And you've shouted all your aggression and your anger out at your football team. And either you're participating in a football team and you happen to thump somebody, so you see this opposition person as your boss at work. Oh, I'll get you. You know, so they're getting some relief, some outlet for their problems, for their misery. And then Monday rolls around and they got another 5 days of misery where I have to just endure this laborious engagement, this waste of life until the weekend, you know. And this is the insane position of the material world. Actually, it is an insane problem. And even if you can't solve the problems of your life, you have so many problems, even if you can't solve the problems, just to contemplate your problems. The materialist is constantly contemplating his miseries. He has nothing he can do about it. But instead of just shelving and saying, well, there's nothing I can do about my problems, they sit there and they brood over their problems. Day in, day out. Oh, woe is me. Oh, I haven't found the love of my life. I haven't found the best job. Oh, I'm so poor. I'm not getting enough wage. I'm misery upon misery. An insane situation. The devotees, on the other hand, are relieved from this practically straight away. Practically straight away, when we make a concerted effort to surrender to Krishna, when we see actually this Krishna consciousness as something really wonderful to offer, then straight away things start changing and the problems start to mitigate. I remember when I was working, before I became a devotee, Krishna was so merciful. He got me a job in an old people's home. I think I've mentioned this once before in my classes. In an old people's home, a retirement home. And I saw these old people at the fag end of their life, carried their miseries all their way until this point where they're about to die. You know, it's the last roundup. It's the place where you're going to die. Most of them have been rejected by their family. They're sitting in a little room all by themselves, disabled. antiquated, just really scrunched up with illnesses. All their life has just been problems. Their family is now not even near them. And they sit there and they just wait to die. So this was when I was just becoming a devotee. And I was coming to the temple and I was hearing the Bhagavatam class. And analytically, scrutinizingly, by the mercy of spiritual knowledge, I started to see what is really this material all about. This material world is all about. It's misery. And at the final end, they've tried all their life to compensate the miseries, to try and alleviate it here and there by stopgap measures. And then in the end, their family, who they've dedicated their lives to, who they've put their faith in, that they were going to help them and solve the problems of old age, have rejected them, shoved them in an old people's home. And there they were, sitting in a chair, just rocking, waiting, waiting to die. Tragic. So me as a young devotee, already starting to use scrutinizing intelligence, Krishna conscious intelligence, by the mercy of the devotees, I started to see, what is this about? This is not the way I want to finish my life. This is not how I thought it would end. But it will. Unfortunately, that may be the case in my life. So I really became serious about taking on this process of Krishna consciousness. And so as soon as I thought, no, I don't want a bar of this. I'm going to become a devotee. I'm going to surrender this to Krishna. I want the truth. And so straight away, there's the satisfaction, the problems become solved. All of a sudden, it dissipates. All of us have experienced that. Like I had a whole thing, you know, what happens when we die, where we go? And simply by hearing the instructions of the pure devotee, by hearing the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, the Vedic teachings, straight away, all that anxiety, no need to worry about death. Krishna will protect you if you're a devotee. And it's true. So all these different things become automatically relieved. All these problems become relieved. A really poignant example that we've got at the present stage in our family situation. My sister, my younger sister, who had a partner for 15 years. Unfortunately, she had one marriage that didn't work out. Then finally she came across a guy who was a reasonably nice guy. And, you know, they weren't going to get married. They just lived in a relationship, a de facto relationship. They bought a house together and life was really good. But they were middle-aged, pretty well middle-aged. He was about 60. And all of a sudden it was diagnosed he had cancer of the liver. Within 6 months he had passed away. 6 months. And all the hopes and plans that they had for each other, gone within a 6 month period of time. She watched him decline in 6 months. Gone. And there she was. Lonely. Empty. Nobody. And we as devotees can understand, yeah, that's a sad situation. If you find someone you love and you want to spend your life with them, that's a wonderful thing. But in Krishna consciousness, with spiritual knowledge, with a scrutinizing, analytical understanding, we understand that our partner in Krishna consciousness has gone to a better place. That they'll always be with you. And we get on with life. But the sad situation with my sister is she cannot let it go. Why did he pass away? Why am I lonely now? Why am I suffering? And this has been months since this event has happened. A devotee would say, this is the Lord's arrangement. My partner has gone to a better place. He or she is again serving somewhere in the spiritual world, either or on another level in the material world, or is in the heavenly planets. Prabhupada said that even if we don't fulfill our full Krishna consciousness in this lifetime, you'll have a period of time in the heavenly planets where you can again establish your Krishna consciousness, and then when the time is right, you'll take birth in the family of Brahmins, a rich family, or you'll be completely taken care of, that you can continue on in your devotional service from where you left off. There's no loss. It's not like you start off in square one again and think, oh God, you have what you have now in your spiritual understanding, in your scrutinizing analysis of the material world. When you come back to this material world again, if you have to, then you'll take off from that level. So a devotee, if their partner passes away or a close relative passes away, they're not morose. But my sister, unfortunately, is constantly battling with the fact, why did this happen? And there's no answers coming for her. And so she has to go to a psychiatrist and a counsellor and lots of crying and lots of anguish. So this material world is a rotten place. It's a sad place. We put a veneer to it and say, yeah, it's wonderful. It is in one sense because it's all Krishna's energy. But in another sense, when we analytically look at it, it's actually quite a sad place. It's actually quite a disastrous place. So a devotee doesn't become so absorbed with problems because they're gaining perfect knowledge. Slowly. This perfect knowledge, this Vedic knowledge, this spiritual knowledge, it disseminates or gets into our system slowly. There are some enlightened moments when we all of a sudden realise, just like when I was working in this old people's home, there were some enlightened moments where you think, I don't want to be part of this, and the way out is to become a devotee. So, you know, sometimes it happens where there's an enlightenment, bang, in the face, boy. But most of the time, it's something that ultimately just filters through. As the process of devotional service goes on, this realised knowledge comes to the fore. So the devotee is never lonely. The devotee always has Krishna with them, because that's the one thing that we start to develop. The understanding, the knowledge that actually Krishna is with me. Krishna is within the heart. Krishna is right there. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is right there with us every step of the way. We can talk to Him, we can pray to Him, we can liaise with Him. He's our greatest friend. You know, and the more we actually analyze this material world, the more we actually fill ourselves with knowledge, the more we appreciate how close Krishna really is. But the materialist passes completely. We as devotees understand that our real friend is right there within us, with us all the way through our problems. And so we have to scrutinize, as it said in this purport, we have to scrutinize all the problematic situations in this material world. But scrutinizing is done in an appreciative way, in a way of gratitude. You know, there's an analysis, like recently, I don't know if you've heard, but I've mentioned before, there was this atheist conference recently with Richard Dawkins. They call him Dickie Dawkins. I wonder why they call him that. Anyway, he is Dickie Dawkins. Anyway, he has this crazy analysis of evolution, you know, how everything grows. So it's not this mundane analysis that we do of the material world, of creation, of the atomic structure, or anything. It's not like that. It's a spiritual analysis. And a spiritual analysis, the component parts to a spiritual analysis is gratitude and appreciation. You have to appreciate everything in this material world, the good things and the bad things. You have to appreciate the problems that you see in front of you. You have to be grateful that you have the intelligence to actually perceive those problems. So this is appreciation is of the utmost importance. There was a recent thing. I had an opportunity to... a friend of mine gave me... I haven't read it yet. Bhaktivatsala is his name. He's a devotee. He gave it to Aniruddha as well. It's a book about a scientist who used to be an atheist and who was also very much into the whole evolutionary process, was studying it, scrutinized it. And this scientist has turned around and said that actually this whole process, this statement that the atheists say that everything just happened by chance, is the biggest fallacy of all time. Because he said the probability of all this wonderful creation with all its intricate permutations, however you want to see it, whether genetic, whether atomic, whether any way you want to see it, the probability of that happening by chance is practically impossible. You know? And he has this whole book, which I'm going to start to read, about how actually it is totally improbable. But the scientists are saying that all this happened just by chance. The fact that we have intelligence, the fact that we're in a human form, the way the creation is structured, the way the universe is structured, all the planetary system, how everything is moving in such synchronicity, everything is functioning perfectly, just by chance. He said it's a misnomer. It's completely a fallacy. It's foolishness. So this is a scientist. So we see more and more that the materialists are even coming to a point of saying, hey, hang on a tick, there's more to this. There's a spiritual side to this. In quantum physics also, they're saying this now. There's a spiritual edge to this whole creation. It can't just have happened by chance. There's actually an intelligence behind all this. We call that intelligence Krishna. Now, our biggest problem as devotees is how can we surrender more to Krishna? How can we develop our love for Krishna even more? That's the biggest lesson. There's an interesting lecture I just heard by Hridayananda Maharaj where he compares the situation of the materialist with problems to an economic... you know how you have in the world, you have these big companies that overtake smaller companies? When a company is not doing so well, you know, the share portfolio is going down and the big company sees it and they go, yeah, we'll just take that company over, right? And some people really don't mind, you know, because they've got problems up to the wazoo and they think, oh yeah, please take me over, you know. And they buy the company out, the smaller company out. They give them some sort of you become now a worker in that company and all the problems are gone. We'll take care of all the problems. So Hridayananda Maharaj is saying that's like us coming to Krishna consciousness. Krishna is saying, we'll take over your company. I'll take over your company. I'll handle all your problems. Sarvadharma parijagya mamikam saranam braja. Just come to me. Just surrender all your share portfolio and everything to me. And I'll look after you. Do not fear, Krishna says. So this is actually a very, very, very wonderful thing. Because Krishna has taken over our problems. And that's the thing with Krishna consciousness. We have the luxury of freedom. The luxury of freedom. Sometimes we think, yeah, we've got these little problems happening. They're of our own doing. They're of our own conditioning. But really, we have the luxury of freedom. When any situation comes or befalls us, we don't go into a panic mode. We don't go into moroseness month after month. Okay, there may be some time of sadness. There may be some time of confusion. But ultimately, a devotee dusts off, well, that's just my karma. I've desired this situation. Let's get on with it. What is it, that thing that, what's his name? That psychiatrist that's on telly always says? What were you thinking? Huh? Dr. Phil. What were you thinking? You know, just get on with your life. Get on with it. Don't sit there and brood, you know. He's like that too, you know. Just get on with it. So same with devotees. Little problems can come, you know. Oh, I've got a problem with this devotee, you know. He picks his nose in public and I really can't stand that, and she wears the wrong sari and all these little problems. Devotees just forget it, you know. Just surrender to Krishna. And give all your proprietorship over to Krishna. No more problems. Just be the servant. You know, you're just the worker. You're just working for Krishna. So we have to surrender, and that's the luxury of freedom. The Lord is right there within our heart, and only foolish pride blocks him. You know, we just have to find ways, analytically find ways. How can I love Krishna more? How can I be closer to Krishna? Prabhupada recommends deity worship. Prabhupada recommends it's such an intricate part of devotional life, to do things for the deity. Because we're so conditioned and so covered, we still can't see Krishna within our heart. Not yet. Some of us may, I don't know. But generally speaking, talking from personal experience, we don't see Krishna within the heart. We don't hear him yet. And so the deity is there for us to throw our love at, to work for, to dedicate our lives to. And there's reciprocation. Absolutely, there's... Anybody that's done deity worship knows there is definite reciprocation on a very, very spiritual level, right in the heart. Maybe you're making a garland for the Lord. Maybe you're doing the paraphernalia. Maybe you're making ghee wicks or whatever. You have a reciprocation with the Lord. The Lord reciprocates with you. And you feel it within your heart. You're doing it because you love him. And so this is really wonderful. This is the luxury of freedom. The devotees are free. We're not bound by anything. We can go anywhere. We can talk to anyone. You know, I mean, just on a purely material basis. Like we went for this trip recently, that we went up to Canberra, Sydney, North Sydney, Coffs Harbour, Moolumbah, Gold Coast. I said that to my family, you know, we went there, and there. So, oh, it must have cost you a fortune. So it didn't cost us anything. We just stayed with devotees, you know. And it was the best time because they're all our friends. Not like you go to some motel or a hotel and it's this impersonal person. Now, you have to check out by 10 o'clock and it'll cost you this. And don't you use that toaster. And don't do this and don't do that. Not at all. You're going to the home of the devotees, you know, they welcome you. Oh, there's a Vaishnava. I haven't seen you for so long, my dear friend, you know. And it was uplifting to share the accommodation, to share the pastimes with the other devotees. Some of my relatives just couldn't understand it. How could you afford it on your wage? We just pay for petrol. It's great. So a devotee is never ever, that's the luxury of freedom. You know, we go to India. We go to any part of the world. Straight away we have the luxury of freedom as devotees. It's such a great gift that the Lord has given us. Such a great gift by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Maharaj. You know, this freedom from anxieties. Let's hand all of our problems over to Krishna. Let him deal with it. You handle it, Lord. And pray.
Nice feast in Vrindavan.
Huh?
Nice feast in Vrindavan.
Oh, yeah, right. Like nice feast in Vrindavan. So, all our problems are solved. And Krishna is our mother and father. We have to understand that, you know. What's that verse in 9:17? Pitaham asya jagato mata datta pitamaha. You know, Krishna is both the mother, the father, the supporter and the grandfather. You know, he's not like your mother and father. He is your father. He's your eternal father, universal father. Krishna says that. I am the universal father and your mother and your support and your grandsire. You know, you're heading back. So, I mean, if we have a situation and you're married and you have children and your child has a problem, the parent will do anything to solve that problem for them. You know? The parent will try and do anything. A loving parent will try and do anything to solve the problem with the child. Wouldn't they? Well, Krishna is the best father and the best mother. And he'll take care of our problems. There's no need for any sort of anxiety, no problems with Krishna, because he is our dear mother and father. So Krishna consciousness is such a relief. It is our best interest to avoid sense gratification. We have to scrutinize it. We have to learn to see Krishna everywhere. We have to learn to love Krishna everywhere, even in good times and in bad times. The spirit, soul and material world always has a tendency to be covered by Maya. Maya is always going to be there. She's always going to try and throw you back in this problematic material world. Always. That's her job. So she'll come up with all different permutations to try and get you back into material consciousness. Krishna says that we just have to say surrender to the Lord and never succumb to bad qualities. This is what this whole verse is purported about. Don't succumb to the bad qualities. Right? In the 26 qualities of a devotee, there's one quality, vijita sadguna, which means that they are never affected. A good devotee is never in control of the six bad qualities. Everybody knows what the six qualities are. First one is lust. Top one on the billing. Lust has to be there. Come on.
Yeah.
You know. Then after that one, because you can't get what you want, anger arises. Kama sa krodha sa krodha. Anger. God damn it, why can't I have that girlfriend? You know, I want that girlfriend. But she doesn't want you, buddy. That's the problem. You know, so there's problem. The next one is greed. Greed. I want this girl, I want this boy all to myself. No one's going to share it. You know, so there's greed. Lobha. Illusion. Moha. Madness. Mada. And the final one is envy. Matsarya. So there. There's six bad qualities. We have to deal with them. They'll attack us. Maya will attack us with all these little weapons. But these can also be used in the service to Krishna. Some people may say, how can you use these bad qualities in the service to Krishna? Krishna advises that we can. With lust, we change our lust to love for Krishna. We become a lover of Krishna. He is our dearmost lover. And even on a material platform, we utilize, even if we're talking about the sex desire, which is here mentioned in the purport, Even when he utilizes sex desire within marriage. Within marriage for the procreation of children. So that's fine. That's perfect. That's prasadam. That's okay. Spiritual. So we can utilize that in Krishna consciousness. Anger. How can we use anger in Krishna consciousness? Any ideas?
Yes,
Hanuman. Huh?
Hanuman.
Yeah. He was angry. I'll fix up this little guy's little red wagon. You know, I'll burn the whole place down. Angry like anything. Who else? Who else was angry in Krishna consciousness? Come on. Huh? Bhima, Arjuna. God, they had to be angry to kill so many people. You know? So there's anger there. Yeah, and one other one. Lord Chaitanya. You did what to Nityananda? Get me through that Sudarshan chakra. I'm going to decapitate this guy straight away. You know? Jagannath Mother. So angry. So anger is good. Be angry at yourself that you can't surrender good enough, you know. Don't beat yourself up. Be angry. God, come on. You can do better than this, you know. Coach yourself on. It's anger, you know. I want to get out of this material world. It stinks. You know. Be angry. You're full. You fool, how did you get in this predicament in the first place? How could you have left Krishna? And now look at you, you're covered with so much material sense gratification. Get out of it! So you have to motivate yourself. The next one's greed. Greed, how can we change greed into a loving... Huh? Huh? Beg for mercy, yeah? Greedy, we want the whole world to be Krishna conscious. Every single person. We want them chanting Hare Krishna. We won't be happy until the whole world goes back home. We're greedy for that. You know? Illusion. This is a difficult one. How do we dovetail illusion? Huh? Yoga Maya. You've read the same thing I just read, I bet you. No, that's very good. Illusion, yeah. Yoga Maya. The potential that we think Krishna is our mother, our father, and Yoga Maya covers us like that. That's true. Can be. Madness. Chant and dance in the street with a big nappy. You're mad. Huh? Yeah. There are so many mad things that devotees do. When we first came to Krishna consciousness, my parents and relatives and everything, you're mad. Yeah. And loving it. Because, you know, I mean, The last thing I would have thought of doing would be running down the street with a big nappy on, with a bald head, in the 70s, chanting and dancing with little cymbals. The last thing, you know. It was recently interesting. We just had that wedding last time at the powerhouse. You know the powerhouse? That used to be my haunt for unscrupulous activities. And it was so funny being back there thinking, you foolish nut. You know, how could you be so... I took Bhakti there and I said, well, Bhakti, this is where I used to dance and this is where we used to have a girlfriend over here. And then you just think back at these things that we did, and if that's not madness, I don't know what is. But we can be mad in Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya was mad after Krishna. Mad after Krishna. Chasing Krishna. It's not that we copy that, but you know, we can't be mad. A little bit mad. It's good. In kirtan, you can go a little mad. It's great. When you have prasadam, you can go a little mad. It's nice. So envy. How can we dovetail envy? Any ideas? The gopis were envious of one another. Oh, they're getting more attention of Krishna. Bhakti and I are envious of each other. We have a little transcendental competition going on. You know, I dressed the pleadies better than you did today. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. Jagannath looks better than Gorni Tai. No, they didn't. Gorni Tai looked much better. You know, and then Bhakti gets an opportunity to dress Gorni Tai and she comes home, she takes photos, right?
Yeah.
comes home. I did a really good job today. Better than you. Damn, next time I'll have to do better, you know. So this is transcendental envy. There's nothing wrong with that. Little competition is good. We used to have that in Sankirtan too, you know. We used to do paraphernalia Sankirtan. We used to have marathons. We'd be out there You know, and I come home at about 11 o'clock at night, and, you know, I had Gopinath Acharya as my partner. And he always did better than me, you know. No matter what I did, and he was so relaxed. It was like effortless for this guy to make money. And I'd be out there selling paintings and going, you know. And then we'd come back here, you know, and I thought, I've got him. I've collected more than he did, you know. And then Balaram would be up there and he'd be counting it out. No, he beat you by $100. And I'd be so envious. I go, that's it. I'm going back out there. And out you'd go, you know. It's all for the service of Krishna. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, we loved each other so much. And even today when I meet him, we talk about those times of competition and how we really loved each other and were so supportive of each other doing this wonderful service for Srila Prabhupada. So, the Lord advises us. Now, what does a devotee do when one feels the urge of the bad qualities in this material world coming back? There's one thing. Prabhupada said, there is one thing. You have to grit your teeth and use self-control. You have to be strong. You have to be strong. The Lord advises us that we practice yoga, one must constantly bring the mind under control of the higher self. The higher self is what we attain by hearing this transcendental knowledge. It's not a dry restraint or a mechanical process of repression. Ours is a juicy, transcendental activity. Transcendentally acquiring knowledge, jnana, scrutinizingly, with appreciation, and also transcendental taste, vijnana, learning to love the Lord more and more in our daily activities, in every way, trying in every way to love the Lord even more. You know, personally, the Lord and also his devotees, and being appreciative of how you have come to this situation, how you are now situated in this luxury of freedom by the mercy of the Guru, by the mercy of Krishna, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, and by your own desire. You desired it. You wanted it. You had enough of this material world, and that's why you're here. You want that luxury of freedom. You've analyzed, you've scrutinized enough to say, there's nothing out there that attracts me. Really, even you meet devotees that have gone back out there, they're not happy, they're miserable, and all they're thinking about is, those times when I was a devotee, gee, they were nice, because it's a luxury of freedom. Devotees have the luxury, such a nice word, the luxury of freedom, just to be in the hands, in the arms, in the bosom of the Supreme Lord. That's our luxury. So, I'll stop here now. Any questions or comments at all, Prabhu? Yes, Prabhu. That's right.
So where do you draw the line that self-will, you're directing your own life and trying to force an outcome because you think that it's something that you should be doing?
Mm-hmm.
Versus surrendering and handing over certain things.
You're always in control. It's always your desire. It's a question of changing your desire. You know? Everything that comes to you has come because of a desire that you've had. Now the Lord helps you in clarifying or perfecting your desire process. The more you desire him, the more you learn to love him, the less those material desires will mitigate. So if you put out, the Lord helps by enthusing us in giving proper desire. Everything revolves around what you want. That's why we have independence. It's not that the Lord will step in and fix things for you. He will fix things for you by your own realization, by jnana and by vijnana. You'll start to realize the truth, and then those problems will fade away. Does that make sense? It's not something where the Lord steps in and says, oh, you have a problem, hang on a tick, I'll take it over. He gives you the intelligence. He gives you the understanding, the knowledge to actually rise above your problems. And you have to ask for. It's not that we come up to the Lord and say, our Father who art in heaven, give us our daily bread. We're not asking for that. There's another interpretation of that prayer. The bread that's referred to when Jesus referred to our Father who art in heaven, give us our bread. Give us our service. That bread, nourishment. The service or the surrender to the Lord is our nourishment. So the more we surrender, the more we make an effort to surrender to the Lord, He will mitigate that suffering, that problem. So a lot of people say, well, if I have a problem, what do I do? Do more service. Become more devoted by surrendering. Then that problem will go away. It will go away by Krishna's mercy and your desire. Because your desire changes and the results of your desire will change then too. Does that make sense? We can't expect the Lord, although He says, I'll take away all your problems, but He does it in a way that is working through you. It wouldn't be fair. You have to develop your consciousness, you know. And he gives you the facility and the knowledge, the realization to actually act. Okay? Yes, Prabhu?
And you said, by service, because He is Rishikesh.
Yeah. Service, master of the senses.
He controls all our senses.
And He reciprocates, yeah.
How do you define Krishna consciousness?
How do I define Krishna consciousness? Being absorbed 100% in loving God. In every way, shape and form. Being completely 100% sold out to the Lord. That He is the centre of your life from the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment that you hit your head on the pillow. And then even then, if you're constantly desiring how to serve the Lord, then even in your dream state you will also experience pastimes with the Lord. I had one the other day, just amazing, just dreams about Krishna, you know. If we just really just focus our attention, how can I please the Lord? How can I do my service better? How can I advance spiritually by both increasing my knowledge and also my affection for Him, my love for Him, by reading His pastimes, by chanting and meditating correctly, you know. Such an important part. The meditation process. There's an interesting thing that I just read, which is really fascinating. I mentioned it at the Sunday Feast program too. There is a part of our brain they've now found that is only stimulated when we have a spiritual meditation process. And that part of our brain, which is stimulated by either meditation, japa meditation, in particular it mentions japa meditation, because the synchronicity between the repetition of a mantra in our mind or verbally with the added advantage of a tactile technique where we're using our fingers along with an internal spiritual mantra develops a part in our brain which actually overwhelms us with compassion and love for our fellow men and development of God. And no matter nothing else that we do, that certain part of our brain, the front lobal part, is specifically for God consciousness. They've just found that. It's just amazing. And they've specifically said that the process to enhance that, and what happens when you enhance that part of the brain, you become more compassionate, more calm, more in control, and that the process is the simultaneous tactile use of a finger and hands and the repetition of a mantra, japa meditation. So by meditating, by sincerely meditating on the holy name of the Lord, there's no difference between the name and Him personally. By calling out to Him, by doing service for Him, by talking to Him as a friend, He's there. Make it a regular practice to talk to Krishna. Krishna, I've got this problem today, you know, I've got to do this and that and that and that. He won't answer you, but He'll hear you. He hears you. You know? And the rectification will be there. Have faith in Krishna. He says that I'll help you by changing the design. Does that make sense, Prabhu? That's, to me, Krishna consciousness. Any other comments or questions? Yes, Prabhu? Whatever.
We read about the new research.
Where?
Remember.
Yeah, the book. What's the book called? I'll get back to you. All right. I'll give you a copy of it if you want. Yes, Prabhu? Same question? I'll give it to you. He's a scientist in America. I can't think of what the title of the book is now. Senior moment. Sorry. Yes, Prabhu. Same? Okay, I'll find out. Yes, Prabhu.
Doesn't it say Shakoni? One devotee informed the announcer of the Lord Brahma Shaka for quite a while. He left because the purpose of the announcer made it difficult for him. And I just out of curiosity, I look at a Facebook profile. And that's actually quite hilarious because I was exposed when we asked me that question about this. And like, it was so obvious how desperately he just tries to enjoy him. You know, like there was all this focus on like, his friends and his hobbies, and like when he took all these pictures of himself because he got a new camera. In this really ridiculous way, yes, he's like, now I'm going to enjoy him.
Yes.
It's, you know, miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. It happens so many times. I've seen it to friends of mine as well that have been devotees for a period of time, and they've succumbed by Maya, because Maya is a really hard taskmaster. You have to really watch it, you know, be vigilant all the time. But yeah, same thing, you know, and they'll do anything to prove to you that they're really happy. Oh, Prabhu, you don't know what you're missing out on, you know. And then sometime down the road, one unfortunate situation which was really tragic, and it's not something that we like to boast about, or this one devotee that I knew that had really big problems as far as lust is concerned. And he said, oh, I'm out there, I'm really, you know, I'm in the field, blah, blah. And he was homosexual also. And no, I'm out in the gay clubs and da-da, it's really good fun and oh, yeah, da-da-da. Within a year he had AIDS and he died. Just like that. Bam! You know? Krishna's amazing like that, you know? And he wasn't going to go any further in this lifetime. So Krishna said, better we stop this now and get a new start next lifetime. You know? But it's not that there's a fear tactic or anything, but just to go back to the material world, you have to be insane. Really, there's really not much out there that's really tantalizingly, you know, any enjoyment is basically relief more than anything. It's not anything substantial. But you start to experience Krishna, there's no taste like it. There's nothing that is so fulfilling as to be with Krishna, to actually experience even a fraction, you know, just a little bit of a Krishna conscious experience is so uplifting, is so divine, is so luxurious. I love that word, luxurious freedom. When I read that this morning, yeah, that's what Krishna consciousness is about. You know, it's sort of laid back, yeah, be proud of it. It's so nice. So nice. Wouldn't want to be anything else. You know, it's sometimes really good on an analytical point of view to go back to your family sometimes for Christmas or whatever and have a really good hard look at how they're trying to enjoy. Oh boy, you guys eating your dead chickens and your fish and oh, poor suckers, you know. Oh no, but I like my footy. God, and they get done again, and this one, so much lamentation. They drink themselves into the ground, and the next morning they have hangovers. Sad situation, insane situation. Anyway, Prabhus, Srila Prabhupada saved us. Prabhupada ki! Srimad Bhagavatam ki! Gaura Premanandi!